On this podcast, we are going to look at why so many of us feel unworthy at times, or those of us who spend a lifetime feeling unworthy. There are certainly many different reasons that someone might feel unworthy, but when we struggle day in and day out, this begins to be a crushing experience, and an experience that often causes us to feel like giving up or giving up altogether. Now, there are a few components to this topic, and we are going to cover each as it relates to how we can personally feel unworthy as an individual, and how we might feel that we are unworthy in the eyes of God, and how on some occasions we attempt to flatter ourselves to get attention by running around telling everyone how unworthy we are in the sight of God because we so desire to play the role of martyr. And the latter is the individual who always lives under a cloud of self-imposed persecution. But for those who genuinely feel they are worthless and those who legitimately believe that they are not truly loved by others or, worse yet, by God, it is a very real and miserable feeling, in some cases debilitating. Feeling this way can and often does lead to feeling very lonely, and when someone who feels very unworthy is told they are indeed valuable and to just stop thinking this way often results in magnifying the feeling of unworthiness. There's a very unscientific term known as imposter syndrome. This is not a medical condition by any means, but one that is a real enough feeling for the one who lives with it. And imposter syndrome is only a fancy name for feeling unworthy and completely valueless. And the word unworthy is worthy of expanding a bit on its own. And a few synonyms for unworthy are undeserving, not good enough, unqualified, and that is to name a few. Feeling unworthy can also make one feel like a fraud, and this manifests itself in that you feel as though you are kidding yourself and everyone around you, that you have it together. But in the end, you seem to believe you have nothing of value to offer anyone. But so many of the things we get in our heads and hearts and own with a passion are indeed unworthy of being owned and are truly unworthy of being allowed to rent space in our lives. And many of these feelings are environmental, learned from all sorts of negative experiences and primarily from childhood. I know this is supposed to be a sermon on feeling unworthy and not a psychological explanation and examination on the causes and results of feeling unworthy, but this is all vital to understand and know if we are going to even have a small hope of dealing with it. And as it pertains to the believer in Jesus Christ, we have been given something that is far greater than anything anyone can or will ever be able to give us as it relates to dealing with our feelings of unworthiness. And the gift of salvation is freedom in Christ, which allows us to go to God for help in all times of need, no matter how big or how small. When we are thoroughly discouraged and down and wanting so badly to just give up, we have an ever-present helper, and that would be our great God. And while all of what I said I fully believe, and believe is the only lasting way out of many painful aspects of life, this is not the direct answer to how we are able to get out from under the pile of boulders we find ourselves stuck under on so many occasions in our lives. So if Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and light, and He is our ever-present help in all of our troubled times, how come so often we don't even feel worthy of believing He would even care about us? And so we don't even bother going to God for help in the end. We are just too pathetic and have been so lost for so long, how could God possibly forgive us? And why would He even want someone like us in His presence? So who cares? I'm just destined to suffer, whatever. And this is a very real conversation many of us have in our heads, both prior to accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, and after accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. I have met many unbelievers and believers who struggle badly with the feeling of unworthiness. Those individuals who don't really believe deep down that God could even love them because they are so miserable and disgusting, as I mentioned earlier. And telling that person their thoughts are untrue, and that is not at all how God views them, and that God loves them through thick and thin, and they are worthy in His sight as one who has accepted Him as Lord and Savior, often doesn't matter, and as I mentioned again a second ago, can exacerbate the problem. So often the one who feels unworthy only believes that anything anyone ever says positive about them are wrong, and people only say such things because they feel sorry for them and pity them. Are you getting the drift? A vicious cycle of repetitive bashing of self. And this is a key component here, and a component that has to change in order to move forward. So how do we begin to move forward with this? What are our first steps we need to take? As we go to God's Word now, and if you are someone who struggles with feeling unworthy, and more importantly, feeling unworthy in the eyes of God, it is going to be necessary for you to take some action with God. This will need to be a time you get in God's face and petition Him for help, and then you must accept help from others and be willing to listen to wise and God-honoring counsel. There is no doubt this is often brutally difficult to deal with, but it is not impossible, and like it is with most things in life, it will require work, trust, and discipline. And the first passage we will look at as we unfold our journey through all of this is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, that is your sake, He, God, made Jesus to be sin, the one who knew no sin, so that in Him, that would be Jesus, we, that would be you, might become the righteousness of God. And this ties perfectly into the very famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son for you and me, Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus will never be separated from God and will have eternal life. And as you have likely noticed, I use this passage very regularly, and that because it is the central and daily theme for the life of the believer and the central and daily promise and offer to all humankind. So what do we get from these two passages, and just a total of two sentences at that? God found you and I and all of humanity to be exceptionally worthy, and that is the only reason God did what He did. Keep in mind, as we go along, God did not have to do what He did through Jesus Christ dying on the cross. This was a choice, His choosing, His idea, and He did it because He loves humankind. He loves you and me that much. Let's look at Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Someone does not do this for anyone if they do not find what they are dying for unbelievably worthy and worthwhile and valuable. On top of that, nowhere in Scripture will you find that God put a condition on anyone. God never said only certain people will be good enough to accept me as Lord and Savior. He, Jesus, died for all. That would be everyone on the planet. The worst things you have done in life are not too big that God would not forgive you for them. You just need to take the action of accepting Him and what He did for you. Let's look at the dictionary definition of worthy to make sure we are very clear on this. And it says, deserving of a specified thing, suitable or fit for a specified thing. This is how God saw and sees all of us, all of humanity. And let's look at it this way. Dying for one person, let alone all of the people, and knowing the majority of those people you are going to die for hate you and want you dead, is not something anyone but God could and would pull off. And the only way anyone could possibly pull that off and go through with it is if you are so lovingly passionate about the haters and find them so valuable and worthy that without question would give your life for them and provide a new way out that they otherwise could never have on their own. God, Jesus, was fully convinced that exchanging the perfect sinless life of Jesus for all humanity was the only way to go. Think of this. God said, only the very best will do. I will give you nothing short of perfection. Yes, we on occasion will take a bullet for someone, but no one takes a bullet for their enemy. Warfare and militaries around the world would look entirely different if this is how we lived our lives and did war. Picture going to war to fight the enemy and jumping in front of the enemy to protect them from the bullets being fired at them. While that might possibly be done by your comrades in war for their side, it is not what you do for your enemy. We are not out to save our enemy. We are out to destroy them. And dare we go and attempt to put our life in place of the enemy in warfare and take the bullet for them? And should we do such a thing, we would be tried and convicted of treason. But this is exactly what Jesus did for us, and all to spare us from being taken down by the one true enemy, the devil. Jesus took the bullets, all the bullets of sin on Himself. But we need to be very careful not to adopt the wrong idea about worthiness. Meaning, it was God who found us worthy, as we have learned, And that means we cannot get the idea that just because God found us worthy, we were deserving of what he did. The idea of, I deserved what Jesus did, and he should have found me worthy just because I am who I am. So while I was found worthy by God does not mean I was worthy of his actions to save me. Let's look at Titus 3:3-7. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is why we are to give God all the honor, glory, and praise. This is why we worship him. This is why we are to come together as the church and collectively lift our voices to him in adoration. This is why we put God first, before our family, jobs, activities, and anything and everything we do in life. It is also important to note here, we should not give God the praise and glory and honor because we feel we have to. Because if we feel we have to, we are not in right standing with God. If we feel we have to worship him and gather in worship and be in God's word, we are in the wrong place in our lives with him. And this is true because if we truly love someone with all of our heart, soul, and mind, you do not feel an obligation to love them back. You simply love them because you can't help yourself. You love them because they love you. 1 John 4:19, we only love because he loved us first. Is this truly how we love God every day and all day? And the majority of us do not have an uncontrollable desire to express to God how worthy he truly is. Many of us have to schedule God into our lives, and we give lip service to God and others that we are doing our best under the circumstances in life. As I mentioned in the message, Thoughts Don't Count, how overjoyed are we that Jesus didn't just do the best he could under the circumstances? Jesus did not just give it a good try. He did it to the very best of his ability and gave it his all. The question is, are we giving God our all? And the answer to that is very likely not so much. And this is because we are at war, and it is a war that is more deadly than any other war the world will ever experience. Let's take a look at Ephesians 6:12 for this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is a lifelong battle we will be in while on earth. But once again, God provided an answer on how to deal with this because he found us that worthy. And should we accept the gift of salvation, we will be given all the necessary tools to conquer. Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say in response to all of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That at least to me is fantastically inspiring and tells me God truly loves me. And just how are we conquerors? Because God has given us all the necessary tools to conquer evil. Ephesians 6:13, 18. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Not only did God find us very worthy of dying for us to spare us eternal death, He provided us with all the necessary tools to win the war. And when the war is over, we will be richly rewarded. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 4:7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Not only did God find us worthy to die for and provide us everything we need to defend ourselves against evil, He found us worthy to grant us access to an eternal life with Him in heaven and award us with a crown of righteousness. And our ultimate worth that God saw in us will culminate with this. Let's look at Revelation 21:3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." The question now is, do you believe these words are trustworthy and true? Do you believe you are worthy, valuable, and that once you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you will be granted all these things? If you do, you are admitting you believe God finds you very worthy of all He did. And if you believe that, yet at the same time say, "I'm not valuable, I am not that loved, God can't love me that much. I am too pathetic and too stupid. This is only for others who have it all together with their relationship with God. They are worthy, I'm just not." And that is exactly what the devil wants us to believe. That is exactly how the devil wants us to live, feeling completely unworthy. And that is what the devil wants us to communicate to the world as believers. Our disbelief, our doubt, and our gloom and doom. Because when the believers are down and out and gloomy and bummed and let everyone know we are not worthy of anything, that is a message of defeat, and that is a message to the world we have no joy in God and the God who promises all of these things. When was the last time you had an interaction with someone who was dismal, gloomy, and downtrodden and said, "You know, I so want what you have. I want to be just like you"? Yeah, we don't do that. But we do brighten up and desire what others have when they are confident and believe with conviction about something. And that is the way God calls the believer to live their life, confident in what God did for us and the worth He finds in us and of all humanity. And it is our job to tell the world with enthusiasm that while we are unworthy of all God did for us, He found us so worthy and loves us so much that He is willing to put all of our past out of His sight and move on with a fresh slate, a true rebirth. Are we worthy of what God did for us? No, we are not. Did God, however, find us perfectly worthy to do what He did for us? Absolutely and positively, yes. Now then, let's go live that attitude and message out for all the world to see.